turny point, but it was up the road. I was trying to make a left-hand turn, and, well, here comes a drunk driver, as I'm waiting there, crashes into my tiny convertible. It was horrible. 165 is bad. And to be honest, we don't need a reminder. All of us that live and come in and out of that entrance every day, we don't need a reminder that it's a death trap, because there's a cross right outside the neighborhood, right outside our entrance we look at every day, because someone's been killed there. 165, we all know, if you drive it at all, it's a dangerous road. The tourists are on that road. They're going to the scenic overlook. They're going to the dam. They're driving half the speed limit. They might be going 20. They might be going 25. They might be throwing on their brakes every few minutes because they don't know where they're going. We get that. Now, the locals that drive on 165, I'll be honest, some of them drive 20 and 30 miles over the speed limit because they do know the curves, but that makes it even more dangerous. There's no shoulders. There's no passing lanes. And what's even more ridiculous is, as someone who has driven that road for the last 20 years, I have been passed repeatedly on 165 when there's a double lane. Has anybody else been passed on that as well?
Ma'am, I need you to address that.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
You're doing good, though.
Thanks. They pass you, and I've almost watched head-on collisions because they pass you, and you literally, when you see them coming to pass you, you throw on your brakes because you know someone's going to come around the corner and almost hit them, and you don't want to be a part of it. So we've established that 165, it's very dangerous. The thing about it is, adding another development adjacent to Poverty Point, it's going to be detrimental to our neighborhood. You've heard about this entrance. When you pull out of our road and make a right like you're going into Hollister, I don't care if you're in a car, a school bus, which we do have kids in our neighborhood that get on the school bus. We have Kanakuk buses that are bringing buses full of campers to go out to the lake. When you pull out onto 165 from our neighborhood, you better floor it. You got to get to 45 miles an hour, which is the speed limit, as quickly as possible, because people are coming up behind you very quickly, and it's a curve, so they don't see you. So you know, hey, if I'm going to get on this road, I better get on it and get on it quickly when I have the opportunity. Otherwise, you risk being hit. If you're going out. And of course, when we are coming in to the neighborhood, we're sitting there blindly. People are coming around a curve, and like the lady before me said, I can't tell you how many times I have been passed on a right shoulder, and it's not like a full shoulder that your whole car can fit on. They pass you. So you're trying to watch people coming around the corner, take a left in, but you also will have to watch out your rearview mirror because there are people who will pass you on the left as you're waiting to turn left, and then there's people passing you on the right. This area, the infrastructure, it can't accommodate that many more people. And I understand they're not all going to be using the entrance into Dale, into our neighborhood, but as they mentioned, the boat ramp, a lot of them will be. One of the biggest problems I have to say is it's going to add a lot of more traffic into our neighborhood. We're a small, quiet neighborhood. We have kids on bikes. We have seniors that walk their dogs every day. We have animals. We have pets that are roaming. There's squirrels that are hit all the time. I live on Poverty Point. I live past the stop sign down the road a little bit. But I live on the part that there's a stretch that, I mean, I watch the people. They're going 45 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour. And I'm not going to lie, some of them are our neighbors that are abusing the speed limits. But more often than not, they are the visitors that are in the area. They come out there, and yes, they may be going to the boat launch area, but they end up in our neighborhood. And we're all smart enough to know that the people who come to visit do not care about our land and can't care about our rules and our laws, maybe just ignorance that they don't know them as much as the people who live there do. And I do really hope you'll consider that. Our boat launch area cannot handle any more traffic. The pictures I have seen of the piles of garbage, the broken beer bottles, the needles that they have found, it can't accommodate anymore. I mean, the Corps is supposed to take care of that boat launch area, but it's really the neighbors that do. And I mean, thank goodness that they do take care of it, because it would just be a landfill, basically. People can't get their boats in because people are swimming and camping there. They don't put out their campfires. So those of us who live in this neighborhood with one entrance in and one entrance out, we have to worry that there's going to be a forest fire at the end of the road because people are camping where they're not supposed to. It's just, it's getting more use than it was ever designed to use. And I want to finish and just say, you know, this isn't about us being petty or stingy or resisting change. I personally, I'm a small business owner. I'm all for economic development if it's done smartly. And this is not a smart place for this development. We have a website that we all use in the neighborhood. It's the Nextdoor app. We've had one person say something good and positive about it, and they actually own the property. None of our neighbors that I can find are in favor of this that live out there, besides maybe the lady that spoke earlier. And I hope you'll take that into consideration. As the gentleman said earlier, we're the ones that have to live out there and deal with this every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you guys signed up at all, or
I am.
You want to go ahead and go?
Thanks for hearing me. My name is Ryan Whitley. I live on Ingalls Lane. Probably one of the not pretty ones down there, I guess, the lady was talking about, too. And we have several concerns. First of all, like, I don't know how many people really realize, but this whole area right here is steep going down to the lake. Right about there, the highway department has about huge drain pipe that dumps all this drain water right on top of us. And anytime we have any kind of rain of consequence, we lose our road. And it comes, it's coming between the houses, washing out, and this whole thing is washing out here because the highway department dumps all the water right there. And I'm, you know, can't even think of what's going to happen when all this drain water is getting pushed off on us because we can't take it. We have to rebuild our road every time we get an inch and a half of rain almost. And so, and you know, everybody has already said how unsafe it is, and I can tell you, I come in and out of here multiple times every day, and I've lived here for 7 years. There is bumpers and mirrors and debris of cars all in these trees here. It wasn't 2 years ago, some chick came around this corner. And like our mailboxes are here and our trash cans here. Took out all the mailboxes and trash, or trash cans, and rolled right there in our driveway from, and she was coming this way. She was going towards it. You will not get this built before there is multiple fatalities right there. Because I don't care what the Missouri Department of Transportation says, these people come flying around this corner, and there is nowhere to go. There ain't no shoulder. There is the only thing that you've got to choose from is a huge rock ledge and oncoming traffic, and that's it, or whatever you're getting ready to hit, whoever you're getting ready to rear end. I take my life in my hands, but I know that, I mean, because it is a death trap, and I know it. But, and so I know all of our neighbors down there too. There's four of us down there. These people live down there. And we can't take any more drain water being dumped on us. And we don't want all the, you know, a bunch of partying and drinking and, you know, I'm all for freedom and I'm for this guy's freedom. I'm for my freedom, but I'd like to a whole lot rather see people that actually own it and live there and care. You know, so, and Mike, I don't know if any of you guys know Mike, he's a ranger at the state park, and he owns those storage units there on the corner that we were talking about earlier. He wanted me to tell you that he couldn't make it because he's working tonight, but he wanted me to tell you, don't do it because somebody's going to die if they don't change that highway and at least put a turning lane in or do something to, you know, slow everybody way down or put turning lanes in or big shoulders or something. There needs to be some major highway work done there
before they're ready for that kind of traffic. And it's already bad enough. People going to the dam, state park, tourists going back and forth all the time, you know. It's a little quieter now that the ducks don't go, but that's about it. It's trucks, big 18-wheelers hauling rock to all these other developments just come flying around. You go down there and you look at all the skid marks between the edge, between the middle of that curve and Dale Avenue. You know, there's, I can't tell you how many times I hear, and I, you know, I can hear traffic coming out, people almost having wrecks. So I guess that's it. That's what
right.
I'm saying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you all sign up to talk?
I didn't sign up.
Okay.
I'd like to say something.
Yeah, I'm sorry. There's, we've got a set of rules to follow. Okay, I think we are to this side over here. So do you want to go?
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate that. My name's John Sheary. I've lived in Siesta Cove for 27 years. And the first thing I'd like to say, everybody's done a great job, but I want to point out that this intersection they're talking about with Dale and 165 being so dangerous, it's never been improved in 27 years. And as they have all said, if we add more, it's a really dangerous thing. I don't want to say it again because you guys heard it really well, I'm sure. Another thing I'd like to point out, however, is that Branson is overbuilt with timeshares and nightly rentals. And they're all struggling, and this will just add to that. The last thing I'd like to point out that I think that other people maybe could have stressed a little more is that that area has the most popular state park, the most frequently used state park in the state of Missouri. And it's full of campers and RVs that are going in and out of this very same area that all of my friends here have talked about. And also the Branson Bells just down the road, and it has tourists too using that road. So I guess the one thing that I'd like to say is please improve that intersection and all the way up the hill as you go there to the east. And once again, I want to praise everybody that's spoken so well about it.
Thank you. Anyone else on that side signed up to speak? Anyone else signed up? Did I miss anyone that signed up? Does the applicant want to come back up? And before we ask any questions, do you want to respond to the public hearing comments, or?
Yeah, just like to say that we're very respectful of all those concerns, and that's the reason we went to MoDOT before we actually came to you guys to get their evaluation of that road and intersection. We've done everything according to the Tana County Development Guidelines. I think we've met those. Like I said, I just say we try to do quality work, follow the rules, and be respectful, and like I said, we are very respectful of their concerns. I'd be happy to answer any other questions.
Can you go over again what your domestic water plan is?
Yeah, private water well and tower, and obviously will have to be approved by DNR.
And then sewer?
Sewer will hook on to Tana County Regional Sewer District, so public sewer is available.
No electric?
Both White River and Empire are available. We contacted both of them, so I can't tell you which one we would do at this point.
Detention?
That'll be done with engineering, obviously, when we do Division 2 permitting.
And then I counted 29 parking spots in that bottom right-hand corner.
Yeah, I think we'll have to meet, as we do Division 2, we'll have to meet the parking requirements, so what we don't get in front of the particular unit, we'll have overflow available, and we'll have to do that before a permit would be issued.
I just wanted to go over those. I heard the comments that were made, and they're all valid. However, not really any of them address the actual project itself. It was mainly focused on 165.
Yes, sir.
Which I don't think we have control over. It's a state highway.
Yes, sir.
I like that. It would be good if it could. Did they even talk about a turn lane there?
Yes, sir. I talked to Chad Zickathus at their Springfield office, and they did their analysis and said it would not be required and that we needed to meet with